Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I am here with my new co-host, Mr. Kevin Finn. How you doing, Kevin?
I'm doing pretty good. How you doing?
I am excited. We got the DeKalb Chamber Small Business Capacity Building Series Special once again. You know, they come in every month, and they come in and they share what's happening over at the DeKalb Chamber, and they're working on this amazing series that is so helpful to entrepreneurs. Entrepreneurs suffer a lot of times with kind of the inability to find education and places to find good information around them. And DeKalb Chamber has taken upon themselves to put together, I don't know how many total sessions, I think it's probably around 8 or 9, where they brought in a bunch of experts to talk about all different aspects of being an entrepreneur, all the different challenges of being an entrepreneur. And the last session, I believe, is session 9, which is on investing and reinvesting. And one of our guests today, Mr. John Hill. Welcome, John.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
You're one of the speakers in this series, is that right?
That's correct.
And have you been a member of the DeKalb Chamber a while?
My name is John Hill. I'm with Citizens Trust Bank. We've been a member of the DeKalb Chamber for quite some time. I've been at the bank for about 4 years, going on 5, and I'm a commercial lender. So any questions that you may have, you know, in reference to commercial lending, in reference to small business loans, I'm your guy. I can answer those questions, and I can bring forth a wealth of knowledge.
Now, you're speaking at this capacity building series on investing, right?
Investing as well as lending.
And lending.
Correct.
And you're going to help educate the entrepreneur or small business owner on how best to kind of communicate with the banker to give them what they need in order so you can help.
Exactly. What I can do is to let you know exactly what you need to be prepared for whenever you are looking to seek out a commercial loan or seeking to go forth with an investment. You know, there are a series of things that you would need to have. The first thing I always tell people is to, you know, make sure you have your financial house in order. And that means make sure you have your documents in order. That would mean your tax returns, your financial statements, your bank account statements. We want to see what your financial history looks like from a bank's perspective, because that's our first way of getting really a good chance to know you as a business or as an individual.
Now, before you get too far into this, I'd like to introduce our other guest, Lee Jordan. Welcome, Lee.
Hey, welcome. Thank you.
Lee has a you're a CPA, and you have a CPA firm, or you work with a CPA firm, and I'm sure you're a key person when the person's looking for a loan. You're the guy who's putting all those documents together, aren't you?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. We work real closely with small business owners to help them get ready for financing and then also help them through the financing process as they you know, work through the loan and work through the payout and things like that.
So, John, when you're working with your clients, are you typically working also with CPAs?
That's correct. We prefer to work with CPAs.
Because they know what they're talking about. The entrepreneur, like, you know, they have things on sheets of paper. They, you know, they want you to take their word for it a lot.
It's unbelievable, some of the information that I receive, if it's not CPA prepared. But it is something we can work with. You know, I get a lot of information that is, we call it internally prepared or prepared by the individual, which can be fine. But when that happens, you know, sometimes we like to just kind of verify that information. You know, our former CEO would always tell us to trust but verify. We can kind of trust a little bit more with the CPA prepared statements, more so than the internally prepared statements.
Now, I hear a lot about that money's tight. It's hard to get money. Is that the case? Is it more difficult today than it was maybe 5 years ago?
It is. I would say the banking environment right now has kind of gone through a shift. You know, just with the whole financial debacle that happened back in 2008. You know, the financial industry changed, and banks have changed. I know for the first couple of years, 2008, 2009, many banks weren't lending at all. I think it's gotten a little bit better now. There are some programs out there that the government is actually pushing to help banks go out and seek loans or seek borrowers who are seeking loans, such as the SBA. You have a 7(a) program out there. You have a 504 program out there. There are a few other programs out there that the state has through the Department of Community Affairs that's helping banks go out and find some additional good borrowers.
when you're working with your clients, are you, is part of your job kind of educating them to what the programs are, or do they have to come to you knowing what these programs are?
No, we let them know what the programs are. You know, one of the good things about being a lender is, you know, I'm able to find out exactly, you know, what the new programs are when they come out, and I can let the borrowers know, or the prospective borrowers know exactly what types of programs are out there and what they could benefit from. You know, some of the things that the borrowers are looking for is an education. And, you know, I will let them know that, you know, right now, based upon what I see from your financial statements, you know, you may not be ready for a loan. We can let them know, you know, what steps they need to take to get ready for a loan at some point in the future. But, you know, with the help of a good CPA, likely, you know, with the help of getting their financial statements in order, you know, we can get them to that point.
I know it can be sort of scary right now for entrepreneurs trying to go in and get loans. And there's a lot of startup companies and a lot of stuff's going on in the economy, and it's just a scary economy. What tips would you give an aspiring entrepreneur, one of the younger kids, maybe around closer to my age, about trying to get a loan or what they need to do to get one?
That's a good question. The first thing I would say is definitely keep your credit, you know, in great shape.
So your personal credit matters even though the business is trying to get a loan?
That's correct. One thing that a bank is going to do is, you know, we're going to pull your personal credit, because that's really our way of seeing how the owner of the business runs their personal affairs. And a lot of times that's a reflection of how they're going to run their business affairs.
Is there a minimum credit score you need?
You know, each bank is different. I would say typically, you know, a minimum score for a loan would probably be in the 680 range right now. You know, on the residential side, you can go a little bit lower. I know FHA and Fannie Mae, they have some lower requirements for the credit score. But from a commercial loan standpoint, for most banks, I would say a 680 is probably the minimum credit score you'd need to have.
Cool, I qualify.
You made it?
I made it.
All right, I'll give you John's card.
We can talk.
So now, okay, so credit score, that's one of the things you look for. Are there any other things?
Yeah, there are quite a few other things.
What if they filed bankruptcy like 5 years ago? Is that an automatic?
That's not an automatic denial. You know, the first thing that, and let me, I'll preface this by saying each bank is different, but at Citizens Trust Bank, what we would look for would be what is the reason why you filed the bankruptcy? You know, we understand that life happens. People get divorced. People, you know, lose loved ones. People go through life.
So
life
in this economy, you're kind of taking some of that into consideration.
We do, which is why there's some programs out there to assist banks, to help banks get over the hurdles, which could be bankruptcies, which could be, you know, liens that have been filed against credit,
right,
which could be, you know, maybe a business that's gone under. You're looking to start another business. We want to know what the story is. If you can tell us what the story is, let us know where you are right now from a financial perspective, personally, and also from a business perspective. You know, it's something we can definitely take a look at.
Okay, so if you have a pretty good business plan, and even though if you have bad credit or you just lost your old business, you guys are willing to take that into account?
We'll take into account, but, you know, there are some other standards that we adhere to. And a lot of times, you know, when we see that, you know, you may have some adverse credit history, you know, we would definitely, you know, want you to get that back in order and get that in shape. You know, one of the major things that can be a mitigant for having adverse credit history would be having sufficient liquidity. You know, liquidity is kind of the cure-all. You know, for example, if you're looking for a $100,000 loan and you have $50,000 in cash, you know, that would be something that would be a mitigant for maybe having some adverse credit history, maybe having a credit score that may be under the 680. You know, if it's in the mid 600 range and you have, you know, some liquidity of $50,000, we would want you to maybe put that in a CD at the bank. You know, that would help us get over the hurdle of, you know, whatever it is on the credit side that may be lacking. And also, that would be another aspect for collateral. You know, if you're lacking collateral, banks love collateral.
Right.
You know, we like the real estate. We like the assets. If you don't have a good number of assets and you're beginning business, we want to see what type of liquidity you may have, or what other sources of income, other sources of cash flow you may have.
Now, is it important for the small business owner, entrepreneur, to kind of develop this relationship with their banker and their CPA well before the time they need the loan? Or is it sometimes you see the the first time you meet this guy is the day they're looking for a loan. Like that, that would, I would think, you know, at least in my business, I'd rather know somebody for a while before I start doing business with them than, you know, that
That's
same
true.
Morning.
Yeah, we definitely would like to get to know a chance to get to know you. Character speaks a lot in my line of business. And you know, you build character. We can see, you know, how your character is from a on a paper standpoint, from your personal credit score, from your financial statements. But having a chance to get, you know, to get to know you as a person, to see how you handle yourself from a business level, just to see what other dealings you may have, maybe some other credit references. That speaks volumes as well. You know, if I can go out and say, oh, you know, do you know Bill? Oh, yeah, Bill's a great guy. I did business with him 3 years ago. You know, he had a little hiccup here and there, but he took care of it. And, you know, I definitely would recommend him. That speaks volumes from a bank's perspective.
Now, Lee, do you is that something you kind of coach your clients to do, is to build a relationship with the bank?
Yeah, I think when I first started getting into business and helping small business owners, I found that you know, relationships were really, really important. And ours is a relationship business, and so is the banker. But I think that, you know, starting that relationship and maintaining it, they always told me that when I started working with small business owners, that you had to have three people to be successful in business. And one was your banker, one was your CPA, and then one was your attorney. So we've got two of them right here. So if there's any questions that people have, or, you know, I would just like to say, you know, having someone you can work with on the banking side and someone you can work with on the accounting side goes a long way.
Okay. So you're saying that having a good team involved and everyone really communicating really helps the process along, instead of someone trying to do it all themselves and micromanaging.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Now, when you're working with a client, do you ever have a meeting where you three are in the same room, the CPA and the banker and the client? Does that happen?
Oh, yes. It happens quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, a banker will call us up and say, hey, Joe needs some help. You know, go over there and see if you can help him. You know, he's trying to put some things together, see if it makes sense. Let me know what you think. And we can work real closely with the bank to get it done. You know, a lot of times people look at as a banker as being, you know, someone that's standing in the way,
right,
of making, you know, getting the job done or getting a loan or, you know, helping them, you know, acquire a machine or whatever they're trying to do. But actually the banker and the CPA can keep them out of trouble and keep them from making mistakes,
right,
keeping them from make critical mistakes in their business, because, you know, he's the guy that can either your CPA or your banker say, hey, use them as a sounding board. Does this make sense? Is this something that we can do? Do we have the collateral? Do we have the liquidity? Is the cash flow there to repay the loan? I think the biggest misunderstanding that business owners have today about lending is that they don't understand the position of the bank. The bank is trying to help you, but they don't want to be your partner in the business. They want you to borrow money and pay it back and you to be successful. So would you agree with that, John?
Definitely. You know, we as a lender, you know, we don't want to tell you how to run your business, and we don't want to be a part of your daily operations. But what we do want to be a part of is, you know, to be your partner from a financial perspective. And to, you know, the best way we can take a look at that is to see, you know, how well your financial statements are being prepared, to see what types of projections are being done, you know, when you're looking at a business loan or a prospective business loan.
Right. Now, I know a lot of entrepreneurs, and some of them don't keep the best records. You know, that some of them use their business and it kind of spills over into their personal life, and they're, you know, they're buying things that can be in both places. And I think that, and correct me if I'm wrong, that's a kind of a mistake when it comes to when it's time to get a loan. Like, you can't say on one hand, oh, my business makes $1 million, and then show your business only makes $400,000, mm-hmm, and expect the bank to give you $1 million because you said so, right?
Right, and that's, you know, it's kind of funny. Lee and I were having that conversation a little bit earlier. You know, what bankers want to look at is, you know, revenue-wise, if you made $1 million, that's great. But net income-wise, if that $1 million is dwindled down to about $10,000 as opposed to $100,000, you know, it's easier to make a loan to somebody who's making $100,000 in net income as opposed to $10,000.
Right.
And I know from a CPA's perspective.
And you don't care they have a new car. Right? That doesn't matter.
That's where the CPA comes in.
Exactly. Expensive. But, you know, And that's one of the things that we as lenders take a look at. You know, we'll talk to the business owner and say, well, listen, we see that you're making the money. However, you know, from a tax perspective, you know, everything is being expensed. And that's something that bankers, you know, we understand why that is, but it's something that, you know, we're not able to make a loan
as much as you'd like.
So it's a red flag.
It is a red flag. It's a red flag. And it's something that I think going forward, if that's known by the business owner, you know, they can make adjustments, you know, the next year. Or, you know, maybe we can look at a six-month statement that's prepared by CPA and to see exactly, you know, how things have improved or how expenses have been adjusted legally. That you know, we'll put you in a position to look at a prospective loan.
Now, Lee, is that something that I'm sure you're having these conversations with your clients all the time? Is like, look, it's what you keep and what you show, maybe not the same thing, and it depends what your goal is. Like, you really got to kind of know their business and what their objectives are a year from now, 3 years from now, 5 years from now. Like, if they want to get a house, and their business is showing that it's not making any money, they're going to have a hard time getting a house or getting the loan to buy whatever they need to buy.
Well, when we first start working with business owners, that's exactly right. We find sometimes that the financial statements that they've been preparing in-house don't really reflect the full picture.
Right.
You know, and they don't tell all the facts and circumstances. Sometimes people prepare financial statements basically on a cash basis, and sometimes they're trying to minimize taxes and write off their car or something like that in 100% in 1 year. But, you know, if we were to look at those things and prepare them more accurately to reflect, you know, more of a full accounting basis, and we call it accrual base or generally accepted accounting principles,
right,
where we would show all the aspects of fixed assets and machinery and equipment and inventory and things like that.
To more accurately reflect the reality of the business.
That's correct.
And it may be worse off maybe tax-wise in the short term, but it could help them get the loan and help them really grow their business in the long term.
Exactly. I'm sure that John's seen a lot of financial statements over the years, but basically there can be extreme differences between, you know, what's on the tax return and from a legitimate legal basis.
I mean,
there's things that you can write off for tax purposes that would not be appropriate for financial purposes.
Right.
Or wouldn't really reflect the whole picture. For example, cash basis and some of the accelerated write-offs that you can take in depreciation on capital equipment, those would, you know, on a small business level, could really distort the financials and not give a true picture to the bank of what's going on.
So you'll save time and money getting a CPA instead of using QuickBooks.
Well,
when you're going to the bank, yes.
we feel like we earn our money, absolutely. The money you pay a CPA is definitely worth it.
Definitely.
Now, when you're working with clients, I guess as part of your onboarding, can you take us through that, John? Maybe start off like I'm a person, like say I'm thinking about using your bank or switching to your bank.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys have a program to help me kind of onboard and move my stuff over to your bank and kind of educate me on the different programs you guys offer?
Yeah, we do. You know, if you're looking for a loan, the first thing I would say, you know, if you're a looking to start a business or you're a brand new business, which would, you know, in our terminology, a new business is one that's less than 2 years old. You know, we would want to look at your business plan. I mean, we would want to take a look at your financial statements. You know, if you've just incorporated or you just formed your business and you don't have any financial statements, everything is from a projection basis, then, you know, we're going to take a look at those projections very closely. And we're going to look at you personally to see exactly, you know, what types of things you bring to the table, such as your personal liquidity. You know, look at your personal credit report and just see exactly, you know, how that's been managed, because a lot of times that falls into place as to how your business is going to be managed.
Now, are you looking at that personal stuff? Do I have to, like, personally guarantee any of these loans?
99 times out of 100, yes. I would say that, you know, the one or two times that you're not going to be able to or not have to personally guarantee something would be on a cash secured basis. You know, I mentioned earlier, you know, the whole paradigm of banking has changed somewhat. You know, banks are more risk averse. So, you know, for a bank to be more comfortable as far as making a loan is, you know, we want to make sure we get that personal guarantee from the actual borrower or from the owner of the business.
So if there's multiple owners, you want a personal guarantee from each of them?
We would. You know, if the owners are owning more than 20% of the actual business itself, we would want to get those personal guarantees. If you own less than 20%, the personal guarantee is not that important.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about you, Lee? What's your onboarding look like? Because I would imagine most of your clients are coming from previous relationships with another CPA.
Well, you know, there's a lot of CPAs out there, and there's a lot of good ones. But, you know, we're here to help the ones that need our help, that are ones that are maybe underserved by another CPA or CPA firm. And, you know, we look at it a case-by-case basis. Our doors are open to folks who need our help and who we can help.
Now, do you have a sweet spot in terms of clientele? Are they of certain size, certain industries?
You know, over the years, we've been in business about 30 years, so we really don't specialize in startups as much as we used to.
Right.
But more really, you know, existing businesses that are growing.
So a growing business of what size? $1 million, $2 million, $5 million?
We really don't have a dollar figure per se, but we do specialize in closely held small business owners. Uh-huh. You know, the only thing that we don't do, our firm, we have 4 offices in Atlanta. We have 8 partners and about 40 people. We are a full service accounting firm. The only thing we really don't do is listed companies that would be listed on the New York Stock Exchange or one of the on the exchanges.
What about you, John? Do you have a sweet spot of clientele?
We do. You know, we're a community-based bank. We're primarily based in the Atlanta metro area, in DeKalb County, in Atlanta, Fulton County. Looking to expand, hopefully, to the Cobb and Gwinnett County areas at some point in the future. And we also have 2 offices in Alabama, 1 in Birmingham and 1 in Utah. I would say our sweet spot, primarily from a commercial banking standpoint, would be, you know, in the $200,000 to $500,000 range. That's kind of our sweet spot. You know, we can do loans up to $7 million on a single entity. We participate with other banks when the loan amounts a little bit higher for some of the larger deals. But you know, primarily, you know, we're looking at your small business type loan. With either an SBA type of backing, or there's actually there's a new product that the state has come out with earlier this year through the Department of Community Affairs. It's called the Georgia SSBCI, and that's acronym is short for the State Small Business Credit Initiative. And I just want to toot my own horn here. Citizens Trust Bank is the only lender that's been approved for this program. And primarily what they're doing right now is looking at loans for up to $500,000.
Right.
And, you know, if it's a loan that we would take a look at one time and say, well, you know, there are a few things that are missing. You know, we may not, you know, you as a borrower may not meet all of our criteria with this program that the state's come up with. You know, we're able to take a second look at it and see if it's something that we can do.
Oh, wow.
The state's actually come in and say, you know, we'll guarantee up to 50% of the actual loan balance itself.
Oh, wow.
Which is a great
thing. And you're
the
only bank that's allowed to do that right now?
Right now. There, you know, the program is open to other banks, but we've been approved by the state for this, and we are right now we're the only bank in the state of Georgia that can do this. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, that's great. That's fantastic. And what's the difference between a community bank and like one of these larger mega banks?
Oh, wow, that's an open-ended question. The I can tell you what I hear. A lot of times I get phone calls from people who are, you know, looking to leave one of the larger banks.
Well, it seems like, you know, they've been gobbling up a lot of banks. And mm-hmm. then so you have choices of either like this mega bank or these kind of smaller regional or community banks.
That's true. I can tell you with the community bank and with Citizens Trust Bank, you know, when you pick up the phone and call, you're going to get a live person. I know a lot of times, you know, some of the larger banks.
I won't have to, like, press 14 numbers.
Exactly. You're pressing numbers. You're trying to get to somebody just to speak to.
I want a human. Which is the human?
Right. And I think that's for consumers. I think that's been a huge issue. And even for some of our corporate clients, you know, they're not able to talk to the people that they've once been able to talk to because of some of the changes and some of the larger banks that are coming to the area to take over some of the regional banks.
What's it like working for a community bank as opposed to one of the big banks?
You definitely get your feet wet and get your hands dirty. You know, whereas at a big bank, you know, you may not know all of your clients, and you're looking at more of the numbers from a kind of a macro perspective. here at a community bank, everything is micro, and you get a chance to know.
So you know Bill's plumbing company, and you know that you know one of his trucks just had a flat tire.
We just had a kid, the personal experience.
Exactly.
Helps.
I know everything about Bill and the AC unit that just went out that he wants to loan it for. But it's more personal, I would say.
Is that more rewarding for you?
It is. It is. I get an opportunity to, you know, meet with people, help people.
And you see the impact that your relationship does to their business.
Exactly. Exactly. A lot of times, you know, we, you know, as a community bank, our loan is pretty much the lifeline for the business, you know, for lending on an asset that they use to help generate cash flow. Or if it's a line of credit that we're able to extend and they have some receivables that are being paid and, you know, we receive the payment for that, you know, it's a give and take. And we're able to assist them and, you know, we can see directly how that impacts them and their families.
Right. Now, Lee, when you're on board with a company and you're helping them, you talked to, you know, we talked about the tax stuff and we talked about some of the paperwork-y things that you have to do. Are you also there in a consultative role, like to kind of help them? Where John said earlier, like he just wants his money back. I don't want to, I'm paraphrasing here, but you know, your role is primarily, John's role is to give them money and for them to pay it back. That's the relationship. And you're not in their business to help them run their business. You're in their business to make sure they pay you back.
That's correct.
Is your role a little different? Do you take more consultative approach?
We do. We find that our clients that get the best value from their CPA are the ones that are calling them and asking advice and actually
and not just seeing each other like, you know, around April 15th.
Right, exactly.
With a bucket of receipts.
Well, the more often you talk to your CPA, the more value you're going to get. You know, one of the taglines of our national designation, the Certified Public Accountant, is never underestimate the value, and that's absolutely true. I can tell you that, you know, calling your CPA can save your life. And it can keep you out of trouble, and it can make you successful. We try as hard as we can to, you know, on the tax side, we try to keep our clients' taxes as low as possible, you know, on the legal side,
sure,
legally. And on the business side, we try to help them improve profits and establish their long-term goals. So, I mean, there's a lot that goes into that. But we find that the clients that we have a really close relationship with are the ones that not only is the most rewarding for us to work with, but also it helps them the most too.
It makes our lives easier.
Right.
Now, but how do you facilitate that? Is that something where you're like, look, when you're working with our firm, it's not something that I'm going to see you once a year for you to dump an envelope on my receptionist desk and then leave and I'm going to send you back tax return.
Yeah.
Like I expect to see you quarterly or I'm going to make an effort to call you to see how things are going. Like what's that look like during the course of a year?
Yeah, what we try to do is we try to sit down with our business owners at least 2 to 3 times a year.
Right.
And kind of just to touch base and see how things are going. Look over their midterm interim financial statements for the year, like say for the first 6 months or the first 9 months, how are things going? How can we help you? You know, and during the conversation like that, you'll start to develop some strategies for possibly reducing taxes this year, possibly looking at financing opportunities, possibly looking at refinancing, looking at expansion, opening a new office, a new store, et cetera, those kinds of things. Will come up, you know, in those conversations. But we like to be proactive. You know, some accountants don't. We do. We like to be proactive, but we like to sit down with our folks. And we try to encourage dialogue and phone calls and correspondence. We, you know, we're probably one of the few CPA firms out there that doesn't charge for telephone calls, you know, and the reason we don't is because we, you know, if you're a business owner, you don't want to pick up the phone call if you're going to get a bill. You know, that's
right.
Just,
well, you don't want that in the back of your head going, well, let me see, it's 3 o'clock now and I got to sit here. 6 minutes have gone by. Like now I owe them $100 or something, you know?
Right. Right. So, I mean, we do keep track of all that, but we're not going to send you a bill for it. But basically, you know, we don't want you to hesitate in picking up the phone.
You want them because one 5-minute phone call could prevent a problem from happening, you know, 3 months from now.
Save your CPA time, too.
That's right. Mm-hmm. You know, the worst thing that could happen is somebody comes in, you know, once a year to get their tax return done, and you look at it and you say, oh, my gosh, what did you do? I wish you'd have called me, you know,
right.
before you did this.
Yeah, that's the I know early when I was starting my career, I had an accountant that we had that conversation. It's like, oh, that was dumb. Why'd you do that? And it's like, you're supposed to prevent me from doing dumb things.
Right.
You know? Isn't that why you're around?
Well, you're both right. It probably was a dumb thing, and it probably you should have called him.
Right.
So, I mean, you were both right, but it didn't help you.
Right. But I think that your philosophy of not charging for phone calls, it makes that conversation happen a lot more frequently, and
yeah.
I'm sure that's a little bit of a hassle for you, but it helps you develop and nurture that relationship.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Now, let's talk a little bit about the DeKalb Chamber. John, I know that you guys are speaking. Your bank is going to is participating in the session about investing on the, let's see, when is the date? September 21st, I believe. So, it's Friday, September 21st and 28th, 8:30 in the morning till 12:30. How important is a chamber in terms of a recommendation for a client of yours? Would you recommend getting involved in the chamber, and what kind of benefits do you see of being involved in especially the DeKalb Chamber?
Yeah, the DeKalb Chamber is very important. You know, we as a bank, you know, we have a pretty good stake with the chamber. You know, we're able to outreach and meet with different people, different businesses in the area. You know, sometimes just meeting somebody within the chamber and just having that relationship is very important. You know, there are quite a few banks out there. You know, we're a community-based bank, and we're, you know, kind of known within the Atlanta metro area. There are some businesses that may be brand new that are looking to join a chamber, and they may be looking for a banking need. They may have a banking need. You know, somebody may say, you know, Leonardo may say, who's over the chamber, say, "Oh, listen, why don't you stop by a Citizens Trust Bank, speak with one of their loan officers, or speak with one of their service specialists, and to see what types of things they can do for you." You know, if you establish a good relationship with the bank, that's definitely a good thing. You know, we want to build a relationship, you know, even if it's a depository relationship, just with a savings account or with a CD. Doesn't necessarily have to be with a loan, but just to have that relationship, just to build on that, because at some point in time as a business, you're going to come to the bank and say, "Listen, I'm looking to do some expansion. We want to make sure we know a little bit about you up front."
Right. It makes it a lot easier to get that loan if you've known each other for a year.
Exactly.
Than it is for, you know, breakfast. Now, Lee, what about you? How does the chamber fit into your marketing and business plans?
Well, I believe that the chamber can be a really huge asset for business in general, you know, and I'm excited to see where the chamber, what it's doing and where it's headed. I guess we're kind of new to the chamber returning. We were members of the chamber for about 15 years, and we've been kind of off for about 3 years, and now we're back, you know, so I'm excited about, you know, promoting business in DeKalb County and in Metro Atlanta. So, you know, I think all of those things are good, you know, and promoting what we can do and to grow the economy in Georgia.
Right. I think everybody benefits. Now, the chamber is offering this educational series, this capacity building series. This is now the third quarter module, the capital management module that they're working on that John's firm Citizens Trust Bank is involved in. Education, obviously, that's one component of the chamber. Networking, you guys go to the meetings to meet other business owners. Is that part of your just average month? You're going over there.
That's true. And what happens is every quarter there's typically a general meeting where the chamber will invite different businesses to meet with different banks. You know, so it'll be Citizens Trust Bank, it'll be, you know, SunTrust and Bank of America.
We don't have to name those other ones.
Okay, well, that's true.
it's only Citizens Trust Bank.
For right now, that's right. One bank, Windy City. But, you know, and there are other businesses as well. So it's pretty much a networking type of tool that we benefit from, and also the other businesses can benefit from as well. You know, it's very productive. It gets us a chance to, you know, see different companies that we may not know anything about.
Right, exactly. It's a great way to meet new people. Now, what's your feelings about the economy in DeKalb County? Are you guys bullish, bearish, optimistic, pessimistic?
We're bullish. We're bullish. I think there, you know, at some point, I just think with the economy as a whole, it's been a little bit bearish. But I think the bullish aspect of that, of the economy, is turning around right now, from a county perspective and also from a state perspective and a national perspective.
Uh-huh. So you're seeing things starting to take root and people taking a little more risk and
we are,
more loans happening?
I'm seeing, you know, more construction-type deals come across my desk.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm seeing more cranes out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a period we didn't see any cranes out there.
Well, you saw the ones they left.
And just stood there, right?
Right. Are you guys seeing that overall in DeKalb County?
We are. DeKalb County is, I've seen quite a few things from a church perspective. Quite a few churches are looking to expand. Just some other businesses are looking to get a little bit larger. We're seeing a few things from a construction standpoint and also from a refinance standpoint. We know property values are what they are right now, but if you've been in your property for some time and, you've had a pretty good value, or your mortgage balance that you may have is a little bit low, and there is an opportunity to pull out some equity, if there's a cash flow need. So, I'm seeing some refinance opportunities out there as well as some new construction opportunities.
Good stuff. Well, Lee Jordan, if somebody went to the kind of chat with you, learn more about you, do you guys have a website? Is there a way for them to reach out to you to learn more?
Sure. Yeah. We are a local accounting firm, and the name of our firm is Robbins Eskew Smith & Jordan, and you can go to www.resjcpas.com.
Good stuff. What about you, John?
Yes. Our website at Citizens Trust Bank is www.ctbconnect.com. And also, I just wanted to go ahead and give the website for the Georgia State Small Business Credit Initiative.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
Right. This is with the new program that they have. Their website is www.georgia, and that's all spelled out, -ssbci.org.
Good stuff. Well, thank you very much. And also, I want to make sure that everybody knows where to learn more about the DeKalb Chamber Small Business Capacity Building Series. You can go to DeKalbChamber.org. DeKalbChamber.org, and you can sign up for any of those sessions that are remaining. Third quarter, again, the investing and reinvesting with our friends at Citizen Trust Bank, going to be hosting that on September 21st and 28th, which are both Fridays, and that's 8:30 in the morning till 12:30. Thank you all for being part of this. Great job, Kevin. Thank you. And this is Lee Cantor signing off for Atlanta Business Radio. See you all next week.